I have two boys, and they're in their early 20s, and when my husband and I were raising them when they were little, we lived in Abbotsford, which is a city which is about an hour and a half away from here, depending on the traffic. And when my eldest was about 3 years old, we discovered, my husband and I, that we needed some vacuum cleaner bags. And this was in the day and age before Amazon, so we had to go out and actually go and pick them up. And so we drove into the downtown part of Abbotsford, and we parked a couple blocks away, and we started walking towards the store. And it was kind of an old store that had been around for a long time, and they had a funny-looking mascot outside of the store, and I think there's a slide there. It didn't really look exactly like that, but it was a large gorilla or Sasquatch-type figure, and it moved, the arms moved on it like this. Well, my three-year-old son, he was walking towards the store, and as he was approaching, he wasn't really watching where he was going. We were behind him a little bit. And so when he got to the store, this mascot really startled him. It frightened him, actually, because it was at least as tall as me, and his arms were moving, and he had never, ever seen anything like that before. So he turned around as quickly as he could, and he ran so fast towards my husband and myself. I hadn't ever seen him run that fast before. He was very, very frightened. And he jumped up into my husband's arms. I was actually pregnant at the time, so he knew I couldn't carry him, but he felt secure when he met my husband there. You know, as young children or adults or anywhere in between, we sometimes will face situations in our lives that can evoke fear. This could be something like an illness in our own lives or an illness in someone's life that we love, in our family or close friends. It could be a failure in school or work, or a broken relationship in friendships, or boyfriends and girlfriends, or marriages. There's so many different things that we face sometimes that can evoke fear. And what we're doing this summer at 10th is we're looking at in the book of Psalms. We're looking at the top 10 tunes of Jesus' songbook, or the top 10 psalms of Jesus' songbook. And so when we this summer look at the psalms, we're looking to see what kind of songs was Jesus familiar with, because when he was on the earth, he read the psalms and he sang them as well. For hundreds of years throughout the ages, God's people have been singing the psalms. They're poetry and they're often put to music. I really love the Psalms because they're very honest. I encourage you to read them if you haven't yet. They're very honest, and they cover a wide range of experiences that we go through and a wide range of emotions as well. Today's Psalm that we're going to look at is going to address how can we experience peace when the world around us is a frightening place. That's what we're going to be looking at. So I'd like to invite you to read a Psalm 46 together with me. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, he lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Please join me in prayer. Living God, we praise you and we love you. We're thankful to be here together today to hear from you and to worship you. Please be with us now. Open our eyes and open our ears to hear you speak to us by your Spirit. Help us to draw close to you and to follow you wholeheartedly. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So in the midst of hard situations in our life, whether it's a small crisis or a large crisis, we can know that God is all-powerful and that he's with us and he's for us. He loves us very much. What we're going to be doing today is we're going to look at how we can awaken to this reality, not just in our minds, but also in our hearts. But before we do that, I'd like to just talk to you a little bit about the context of this psalm. So let's look at verses 1 to 3, which goes through the context. Let's look again at these. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. So Bible scholars tell us that in ancient Hebrew culture, this was originally written for ancient Hebrew culture many years ago, and in that culture, mountains were actually a symbol of security and permanence. And here in verse 2, we see that they're falling into the heart of the sea. So that means the context is something that seems secure is actually dissolving. So that means there's a really hard crisis or a really sort of big disaster that the psalmist is experiencing. Also in verse 3, it says the waters are roaring and foaming. And so also scholars tell us that in ancient Hebrew culture, waters were considered to be the source of all chaos. So if they're roaring and foaming, that means there's just all kinds of chaos around. And so that's the context for this psalm. In fact, do you notice in verse 2, it says the earth is giving way. It seems like the psalmist's world is falling apart. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but this is what the context is for this particular sermon. The world is one that is filled with uncertainty. And even things that are permanent can dissolve. And so we're going to look a little bit more at this today. I have a sister who's a little bit younger than me, and she is beautiful in every way. She has two kids, one is 17 and one is 20, and she's happily married. And she's had a good career all of her life. She has enjoyed it. She's also worked not completely full-time, so she's been able to manage, have a good work-life balance. My sister has never smoked. She rarely drinks. She has had an ideal weight almost like pretty much all her adult life because she takes good care of herself and she eats well. So she eats lots of fruit and vegetables. She's been to doctors and naturopaths to figure out and to talk to them about proactively ways to stay healthy. So for a number of years, she's been able to afford organic food for herself and her family. She's avoided eating wheat and sugar and dairy because she thought that that would be healthy for her. And yet, even though she has done such a great job of living a healthy lifestyle, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer about 20 months ago. And so when she was diagnosed with that, she was told that she had 2 months to live. But she's still alive right now, 20 months later. But this has been actually very hard for her, as you can imagine, the treatments and what that's like. And in addition to that, we lost our mom to cancer about 12 years ago. So this is a really hard storm that she's going through, her and her family. It's also a really hard storm for me and my family because we love her so much, as you can imagine. So sometimes there are things in our lives that cause us to feel afraid, right? And so if you haven't experienced anything like that yet, probably you will. It's kind of, that's what happens sometimes in this world. But there are ways that we can be people that experience peace, even in hard seasons. We can be people who experience more calm and confidence, rather than people who are characterized by fear or destructive fear or anxiety. And that's what the psalmist is talking about in this psalm. He's going to be getting to that. How can we be people who experience peace rather than fear in really hard situations? So let's keep looking and learn more about this. Let's look at verses 4 to 7. The psalmist is going here and he's making a point. Verse 4 says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So the city of God, like it's described there in verse 4, is referring to Jerusalem. and there is not any river or stream that runs through it. And Bible scholars tell us that when this was written, there was not a stream or river either. And so the question becomes, what does this mean? And it's a symbol and it's a metaphor for spiritual sustenance that we can experience in God's presence. So the river is a symbol of God's presence that can be sustaining for us. So remember how I was telling you my son was so afraid of that gorilla mascot, right? And so what he did was he ran as fast as he could towards my husband, who lifted him up. And then we comforted him and provided solace for him, spoke with him for a few minutes, put him back down on the sidewalk, and then continued walking towards the store. But the only way that my son would go into that store was if my husband picked him up again, and if we sheltered him, and I kind of just walked past the gorilla so that we could get into that store safely. And that's actually a picture of what it could be like for us with God. If we're going through something that's hard or frightening, he is with us to comfort us and provide solace. And it can be something like he would be carrying us through hard situations. That is something that God would like to do for each one of us. This is not actually an abstraction or something theoretical. It's something that can actually be a reality for us. And so let's just keep looking in the psalm to see how it can actually be something that's real to us in our lives. So do you know this song? It goes, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. So I'm going to stop there because I don't normally sing into a microphone for obvious reasons. But those are the lines, the first four lines of a hymn written by Martin Luther, which is based on this psalm. You might remember verse 7 says, the God of Jacob is our fortress. And so I grew up in a Lutheran church, and so I think that this song was probably our pastor's favorite hymn because I feel like we sang it two or three times a month. It's very familiar to me even now, years later. Martin Luther, if you don't know, he lived in Germany about 500 years ago. He was a pastor and theologian. He initiated some changes in the church at that time. And when he did that, that resulted in him having some enemies in the church and also in the government. So he had political and religious enemies. So there was more than one season of his life where he had to flee for his life. He had to run through Europe and hide so that people wouldn't kill him because they were actually determined to kill him. At one season in his life, he stayed in his friend's castle or home. And so there's a picture there. It's called Wartburg Castle. He stayed there more than once when he was fleeing for his life. You can see that the walls look like a fortress, like a safe place to stay and hide. And so this is a picture of what God can be like for us. It's another metaphor. God is a fortress, and he can surround us and protect us in times of trouble. Let's continue on with this psalm because these are all very ideas, and maybe you've heard these ideas before, or maybe it's the first time that you've heard them. But whatever the case might be, it's really important that we have a way to have these ideas become real to us, and not just things in our mind, but also things in our heart that we really experience. So let's keep going in the psalm. Let's look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, come and see what the Lord has done. So we cannot possibly talk about all that God has done for us. He's done so much for us. And in the short time we have here together here tonight, we can't possibly cover it all. But we can cover one or two things anyways related to this psalm that God has done for us. You might have heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who lived in Germany around World War II. He was a pastor and theologian as well. He took a stand against Hitler, and then that cost him his life because he took that stand. But he wrote a book about the Psalms, and he mentions Psalm 46 in this book, and he mentions verse 8, come and see what the Lord has done. Bonhoeffer mentioned in this book that when this psalm was written, the people of God believed that God's special presence resided in the temple in Jerusalem, in that specific location. Bonhoeffer has pointed out that as Christ followers today, we no longer believe that God is in one specific location. We no longer believe that he's in a special little room inside the temple in Jerusalem. We believe that his presence is available for everyone, everywhere, all the time. And in fact, his presence and his Holy Spirit can come and abide in our hearts. Let's talk about what God has done to achieve that for us. So about 2,000 years ago, Jesus, God's one and only special son, came to the earth. He lived a perfect life, but he decided, since he loves each person so much, he decided to let himself be killed on the cross. And when he did that, he paid the price for our sins. Also, when he did that, when he died on the cross, in the book of Matthew, it's written about how in the temple in Jerusalem at that time, there was a curtain that separated the very special presence of God from most of the people except for the high priest. And when Jesus died on the cross, that curtain was torn in two. Bonhoeffer describes how when the curtain was torn in two, that really describes how it's a symbol for how God's presence is now released into all the world because of what Jesus did for us. Also, when Jesus died on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" For a time while Jesus was on the cross, he was abandoned by God the Father, and he did that so that we never have to be abandoned by God the Father. He's always with us. These are two things, at least, that God has done for us. I wonder if you've read that book that Pastor Ken wrote called Survival Guide for the Soul. It talks about verse 10 in that book that Ken wrote. And so I'd like to look at verse 10 with you. Verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." That's a very famous verse. "Be still and know that I am God." In his book, Ken talks about how he uses this verse a lot of the time in the morning. One of Pastor Ken's rhythms is to wake up in the morning and have a time of silent prayer for 10 or more minutes. He described in that book how he will often hold the verse, "Be still and know that I am God," in his mind while he's praying silently. He even described in one part of the book how he will inhale and think about "be still," and then he'll exhale and think about "and know." And then he will repeat that over and over again as he feels led to do so. I think it's important and helpful. I do that as well. In the morning, I start by reading scripture. That's one of my rhythms. And then I also spend at least 10 minutes in silent prayer. I find it so life-giving. I find it's really good to breathe deeply because we have busy lives. This culture that we live in is really busy. And so sometimes it's just really good to slow down and be still, like it says here. And not only be still, but know that God is God. That's a really helpful spiritual practice that we can engage in. Sometimes when I'm praying silently, I'll hold other verses in my mind, like "trust in the Lord." Maybe you've heard of that verse from Proverbs where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight." So sometimes I'll hold the thought, "trust in the Lord," while I'm silently praying. Or maybe I'll just think about how God loves me or Jesus loves me. Those are helpful things. This practice of spiritual prayer is a huge help because it can help the ideas that we're reading about in Scripture move down into our hearts and become more real to us. That's what I find. I find it very, very helpful that way. I actually really love to read in the Psalms. And so a couple weeks ago, I was reading in Psalm 73. Listen to this great verse from Psalm 73. It says, "You hold me by my right hand." That means God. "You, God, hold me by my right hand." I think there's a picture for this on the screen. So when I was reading in this Psalm, that verse jumped out to me, and so after I was finished reading it, I spent just a few moments in silent prayer with this, an image, something like this one, in my mind. I imagined God holding me by my right hand, and then it says, "You guide me with your counsel." That was a really helpful thing for me to think about for a few minutes while praying silently. Another one of my favorite verses as well in the Psalms is from Psalm 91, verse 4. It says, "He will cover you with his feathers." That means God. "God will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge." So sometimes this idea of God being like a bird, sheltering chicks under her wing, is very common throughout Scripture. And so it's found in many places. And so sometimes I'll imagine that as well while I'm praying, and I find it hugely helpful. Perhaps you've heard of St. Patrick. I don't think that he had anything to do with green beer or parties in March. In fact, he was a missionary in Ireland, and he lived in the 5th century. St. Patrick grew up in Britain, and when he was a teenager, he was abducted, taken away from his family, and taken away from his country, and taken to Ireland, where he was forced into some very cruel slavery for a number of years, and it was very brutal. Could you imagine the storm that he experienced, right? Being taken from his family and friends and forced into slavery. He managed to escape, so he was a slave for a number of years. He managed to escape and went back to Britain. He was a Christ follower. And while he was in Britain, he felt that the Lord was calling him back to Ireland to share God's love with his enemies. Could you imagine how hard that would be to go back and share God's love and to share the message of God's love as well with his enemies? But that's what he did. And he's credited with bringing Christianity to Ireland because scholars don't think that there were any Christians there prior to that time. And when St. Patrick actually wrote a poem based on Psalm 46, verse 10, so that will be on the screen here for you as well. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still and be." So St. Patrick wrote this poem, and you can see that the movements in the poem are becoming simpler and simpler, right? He's becoming more and more still as he's thinking about these things. Could it be that God used this verse to motivate St. Patrick to go back to Ireland, to love his enemies there and to share God's love with them? I think it's possible. He obviously meditated on it quite a bit if he wrote a poem about it that we still have 1,500 years later. Aristotle wrote that he who has overcome his fears will truly be free. He who has overcome his fears will truly be free. So this doesn't mean that, you know, as a Christ followers, that we're all of a sudden not going to have any fear and that we're going to be perfect in this regard. But we can move in that direction. We can gradually become people who experience less destructive fear. And we can be people who are more and more characterized by calmness and confidence and peace. For cardiovascular exercises, I like to bike. And so I'm a fair weather biker though. So I love it when it's sunny and it's not raining. But if it's raining, I don't love to get outside, and so I have an exercise bike in my house. And so in the winter, in the Lower Mainland, right, so we get a little bit of rain. And so if I want to maintain physical fitness during the rainy seasons, I need to get onto the exercise bike that's in my home and use it. I need to practice that and exercise on that bike if I want to maintain physical health or if I want to grow stronger. And this is actually a picture for us, too, in our spiritual lives. If we want to become people who are more and more characterized by peace, if we want to be people who experience more freedom from fear, then we need to practice the spiritual practices that we talk about, like reading the Bible, like silent prayer. And 10th has so many great courses that cover different spiritual practices, and I encourage you to engage with those. Just like the exercise bike, it will help you to become stronger in your spiritual life. A number of years ago, I heard Ajith Fernando speak at a church in the Lower Mainland. He's from Sri Lanka. He's a pastor and theologian, and he has been a leader with Youth for Christ there for a number of years. He's also been at 10th Church in the past as well. Now, he, being in Sri Lanka and involved with his ministries there, he has experienced many times in his life where he's actually been afraid for his life. There have been people who have wanted to kill him for various reasons, just because that part of the world can be volatile. And this was a number of years that I heard Ajith Fernando speak. It was a number of years ago, and I still remember two of the main points that he made. Whenever he's experienced anything that is a little bit disturbing or frightening, he remembers two things about God. One is that God is all-powerful. The second thing that he remembers is that God loves us. God is all-powerful, and God loves us. I find it really helpful to remember those things if I'm ever experiencing something that's frightening or unsettling or disturbing. It's so good to know in the depths of my heart that God is all powerful and that He loves me and He loves you as well. The Apostle Paul wrote something in the book of Romans, chapter 8. He wrote, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him." Sometimes it's hard to understand, but that's a promise that God has given to us, that in all things God will work for the good. And that can be in this life or the next life or both. And it's true even if we don't understand it and can't make sense of it. So I don't know what the future holds for my sister Marla, but I do know that God is all powerful and that He loves her and that He loves me. And He loves you as well. And somehow God will turn this situation with my sister into something good, even if I can't understand it. And He'll do the same thing for you as well, for whatever you're going through. So we can be people who trust God more. We can be people who experience less destructive fear and who are characterized by calm, confidence, and peace. You know, after Jesus died on the cross, He was dead for 3 days, and then He rose from the dead. And before He ascended into heaven, He spoke with His followers, and He promised them that He would never leave them or forsake them. So that promise is for us as well. He is never going to leave us or forsake us. And I'd like to read one more poem for you by St. Patrick. And I'll close with this. I'd like you to please close your eyes while I say this poem that St. Patrick wrote. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, and Christ when I arise. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Amen.